today on The King is Coming.
Because Jesus Christ loves the Jewish people. It's His people. It's the people that God established a covenant relationship with, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. There's a fascinating story that Jesus tells at the end of His ministry about 10 virgins. And many people think this refers to the church. Does it? We're going to find out on The King is Coming, so don't miss this episode.
The parables of Jesus can seem like some of the most mysterious and difficult stories to understand. Why did He speak in parables? What do they mean? Introducing the Parables of the Apocalypse, a powerful 7-part teaching series that unlocks the prophetic truths hidden in the stories Jesus taught His disciples in the last week of His life on earth. From the Lord's Prayer, to the faithful slave, to the parable of the fig tree, these are not just ancient lessons, they are urgent messages for our time. What do these parables reveal about the return of Christ? And more importantly, are you ready? Don't miss this eye-opening journey into the words of Jesus, because the signs are speaking and the time is near. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $45 or more. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com to get your copy today.
We come now to one of the last parables that Jesus Christ tells about the apocalypse. Oddly enough, it's a story about 10 virgins. I have a friend of mine who has a coffee mug, and on the coffee mug it simply says this: I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. I have found that as you look at the Bible, many times you can make the Bible say just about anything you want to if you really want to see it in the scripture there. Sometimes in our eagerness to find truth in the Bible, we can miss the original meaning of the passage, and we can skip to what I would call our own meaning. We can superimpose another meaning on the text. Now, when you study the Bible in its context, in its original form, and you find the meaning out of the context, that's called exegesis. Ex means out of. But when we read in our own preconceptions or thoughts, or we try to force meaning into the text, that's called eisegesis, or putting our own thoughts into the text. And as we look at this parable here, we need to keep in mind that chapter 25, which is where we are in Matthew, oddly enough flows right out of chapter 24. And that chapter 24, verse 51, is the verse that occurs directly before chapter 25, verse 1. But keep in mind, when Matthew wrote his gospel, there were no chapter divisions. In fact, there were no verses marked or numbered. That happened many years later. In fact, in 1227, a man by the name of Stephen Langton, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury, he divided, arranged, and added up all the verses of the Bible and put them into chapter and verses. And that's where we have the chapters and verses. Sometimes, though, as we go through the Bible, we forget that the end of one chapter naturally flows. It's just the next thought. And so we don't have to make a separation there. So in chapter 24, we know Jesus is talking about the tribulation period, and specifically the time that leads up to the second coming, during that 7-year time of God's wrath falling on planet Earth. Chapter 25 and verse 1 simply picks up that thought. So we're still in the tribulation here in 25 and verse 1. So we have to discover the original intended meaning of this passage so that we don't hijack and sort of twist the scriptures there. So let's read this parable. Now, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, okay? He's talking about the kingdom that's going to be coming at the end of His second coming. He says, in the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now when the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish virgins said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered and said, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, these the ones without the oil, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." And then Jesus says, "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." Now, what is this passage talking about? Well, a lot of people say this passage is talking about the rapture, and we're the virgins, and the bridegroom is coming, and so you need to be ready for the rapture. And that's really the point of this whole thing. But is that really what this passage is saying? Let's examine it together. First of all, if this passage is talking about the rapture, then some Christians will be raptured and some Christians will not be raptured. And this is where some get their idea of what's called a partial rapture, or the idea that some Christians are going to go up the rapture, other Christians are not going to go up. Who's not going to go up? Well, those who weren't prepared, right? But nowhere in the scripture is there any verse that teaches a partial rapture. In fact, just the opposite is true. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul says that at the rapture, we will all be changed. Not some of us, but all of us. Who's he writing that to? He's writing it to the most unprepared church in the New Testament, the Corinthians. So certainly if having sin in your life at the moment of the rapture or not being ready for the rapture was a cause for God to leave you behind, then he certainly would have said that. But nowhere in Scripture does it point to a partial rapture. On the other hand, the Bible tells us, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we all have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1, says we've all been justified. Chapter 8, verse 1 of Romans says we're all there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 25 says God saves us to the uttermost or for forever. So there's no hint to a partial rapture there. Our standing and our position before God, no matter how messy we might be, remains fixed, constant, and unchanged. So that's not what he's referring to here. Secondly, the church in the New Testament is pictured as a bride, not as the attendant of the bride, as we see here in this passage. Here, the bridesmaids are the ones who have the oil or don't have the oil. In fact, the bride isn't even mentioned in this passage. But the bride of Christ is mentioned elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Revelation 19, 7. So yeah, we do know that the bride is mentioned throughout the Bible. We're pictured as the bride, but the bride is nowhere in this passage. So that'll be a second reason not to see this as speaking about the rapture. Thirdly, Jesus responds to the unprepared virgins the same way he responds to unbelievers. And we know that over in the previous chapter, in the earlier parable that we looked at, he says that the foolish slave will be cut into pieces and will be sent to the places of gnashing of teeth. He says here in verse 12, chapter 25, "I do not know you." In Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus is responding to people on the judgment day, and they will say to him, "Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name, do great miracles?" And Jesus says, "I'll respond to them and say, I never knew you." And so Christ gives a scathing rebuke to them for that reason. But watch this. He says the same thing to the unprepared virgins. So this certainly cannot be believers because these people are cast into hell. We'll talk more about that when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So we're looking at this context here in Matthew 25 on the parable of the virgins. We talked about there's no such thing as a partial rapture, so this can't refer to the rapture. We talked about the fact that the church is pictured as a bride, but here we have wedding attendants. And thirdly, half of these virgins end up being condemned by God, and we know God doesn't do that to the church. Let me give you one more clue as to why I don't believe this is referring to the church, is that the greater context of this passage is the Olivet Discourse and Jews living in the tribulation. You see, there are going to be many Jews that will believe during this time. How do we know that? Because God's going to unleash 144,000 young male Jewish evangelists across the world, and they're going to reach the Jewish people and others as well. Also, they're going to be the two witnesses we know about from Revelation chapter 11, perhaps Moses and Elijah, who are going to return to the earth and bring back the law and the prophets to help point the Jewish people towards the Messiah. And so Jesus urges these disciples in Matthew 25, be ready, be prepared, and respond to the message. You see, the unwise virgins or the unwise attendants here of the wedding represent those who have heard the same message that the other virgins have heard. They were told, get your lamps ready, get your heart ready, prepare for Messiah. They heard the same message of the two witnesses and the 144,000. But these unwise stewards, these unwise virgins, they bought into the message of Antichrist. They bought into his deception. And the Bible says they will be shut out of the kingdom. Now, just because the rapture is not found in this passage doesn't mean there's not a rapture. It just means that it's not found in this passage for those four reasons that we gave. And so if Jesus had suddenly switched gears and started talking about the rapture, his disciples wouldn't have any clue as to that, what that meant, because they didn't even know what the church was yet. So they couldn't comprehend the idea of the church. They couldn't comprehend the idea of a rapture. Now, there's some similarities here. There's a wedding motif. There's a bridegroom. There's an exhortation to be ready. But in studying the Bible, we have to always make sure that we find out what the verse means in its context in which it's found. Then we can compare it to other places and see if this is the same thing. And here's another clue for you. Sometimes the Bible will use the same word to describe a completely different event. Two different events. In fact, that's true concerning the coming of the Lord. There's the Greek word parousia, or parousia. And that Greek word is used in the New Testament to describe both the rapture and the second coming. There's the Greek word save, sozo, which is used throughout the New Testament to mean at least four, maybe five different meanings. Deliverance from disease, deliverance from enemies, deliverance from calamity, deliverance from judgment. It's used in so many different ways. So how do you know what it means? Look at the context in which it's found. So we have to examine the context here. So there are plenty of other rapture verses that we can go to find our belief in the rapture. But just because there's a wedding here, there's some bridegroom attendants, there's a bridegroom there, just because those things exist here doesn't mean he's talking about the rapture. Look at the context and look at what the rapture is actually, how it's portrayed in Scripture and how it's not portrayed in this particular passage here. Another thing we need to keep in mind is that within 36 hours of Jesus giving them these words, he actually did talk about the rapture. In the upper room, in John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus Christ would describe to them exactly what the rapture is going to be all about. And he did that through using the symbolism or the imagery of the Jewish wedding motif. And in the Jewish wedding motif, there is the arrangement where the father essentially chooses a bride. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we were bought with a price. in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. That's exactly what happened with the Jewish wedding. Secondly, there was what's called the fetching of the bride, where there would be an engagement period where the young man would go away and build onto his father's house or add on a room or whatever, an addition. And then usually somewhere around 12 months later, he would come back. Now the bride never knew the exact day of her wedding. Can you imagine that today? But she never knew the exact day of her wedding, but she didn't know the season, the general season of the wedding. But think about what that did for her. It caused her to always be ready, like these virgins should have been ready. And it also causes her to have a sense of expectation, a sort of an any day now attitude. So there was the fetching where he would come back unannounced, just like the rapture, and he would fetch up his bride and take her off to heaven, or in those cases, to the Father's house. The third thing about the Jewish wedding, not just the arrangement, the fetching, but then came the actual ceremony. That's the celebration of the wedding itself. And we're going to celebrate that wedding up in heaven after we're raptured. Revelation chapter 19 says that the bride made herself ready and the marriage of the Lamb has come. So we're in heaven during the tribulation period celebrating with Jesus Christ. And then the last thing that happens is what's called the wedding feast. And this likely comes throughout the millennial kingdom after the return of Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke of this wedding feast over and over again throughout his discourses in the New Testament, primarily talking to the Jewish people about the celebration that's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. So I believe that the wedding feast will likely take place. It could begin in heaven and sort of spill over into the millennial kingdom, but we're all going to participate that in that, Jews and Gentiles alike. Another thing to consider here is that Matthew 25, the chronology of this at the second coming of Christ, is at least 7 years past the tribulation, if you believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. Now, if you think the tribulation comes at the midpoint of the tribulation, 3.5 years in, then you're just 3.5 years away. If you believe in a post-tribulational rapture, that Christ comes back at the very end of the tribulation, snatches his bride away, they go to heaven, come right back around and come back down to the earth, that's a post-tribulational rapture, then essentially the rapture and the second coming are the same thing. But my view is that, and the view of Dr. Ed Heinzen, is that this rapture takes place prior to that tribulation period. And so this is Jesus basically saying, I am presenting my kingdom to you. You'll get a second chance at receiving the kingdom during the tribulation period. And so chronologically, here's what we've seen happening. We've seen Jesus come and he has presented the kingdom to the Jewish people. Guess what they did? They rejected him. And then Jesus Christ said, I'm going to reoffer the kingdom to you again after a period of hardening. And here's a pro tip for you, Jesus says, about how to get ready for that. We'll tell you what it is when we come back right after this. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now at this time more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So Jesus had offered the kingdom legitimately to the Jewish people, but the Bible says that they rejected him. They rejected his message. They rejected his person. And even to the point where the leadership helped get him crucified. And because of this, the Jewish nation, the Bible says, according to Romans chapter 11, verse 25, that right now, beginning really since their rejection, and officially at 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, is that there's been this parenthesis of time that we call the church age. Paul explains that this is, that not only was the church a mystery, but he says that there's another mystery as well as it relates to the Jewish people. And in Romans 11, this is exactly what he says. He says, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. Well, Paul, what mystery are you talking about? Well, fortunately, he explains it in the very next phrase. He says, lest you be wise in your own estimation, here's the mystery, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So what Paul is saying is this. I always put it in these terms. God sent his son Jesus to the Jews. That was his main mission. It was his main focus. They rejected him. So God said, because I'm not done with the Jewish people, because as Romans chapter 9 tells us, God's gifts and callings are irrevocable. God is not going back on his word concerning what he's promised to the Jewish people. But watch this. He takes the Jews, in terms of the nation Israel, and essentially sets them on the back burner for a while and says, I'll get back to you, just like you do at home. He puts the church now on the front burner, and he's dealing with the church throughout the church age for 2,000 years. In that church, in that pot, is both Jew and Gentile. We are the church together. But as a nation, God says, there's going to come a time when I'm going to return my attention back to you. That's the partial hardening. And this is why you see it so hard to reach many Jewish people, is because they're under a hardening right now. But during this tribulation period, the Jews are going to come back in mass to the Lord, to the point where Romans 11:26 says this, and thus all Israel will be saved. Now we know from the book of Zechariah that that's one third of the Jews alive at the time during the tribulation period. But they're going to come back to the Messiah during that time. Now let's go back to our parable and finish this up, because this parable is all about what we've been talking in terms of the kingdom and the Jews and the tribulation period there. Notice that five of these wedding attendants were ready. They had oil in their lamps. Why do they have oil in their lamps? Because they've been told, get oil, right, in this parable. In life, what that translates to for the Jews living in the last days, they've been told, believe upon Messiah. Be ready for his return. And so then, symbolically, they put oil in their lamps that way. There were other Jews that chose to reject the message of Messiah. They're still Jews, but they're just not ready. And so they weren't ready when the time came for Messiah to return. That's Jesus' second coming at an hour that you don't know. Verse 13 says you don't know the day or the hour. When Christ returns, they're not going to be ready. Now, because of that, Jesus says, he's going to tell them, I don't know you. They should have been ready because Christ had already given them the message in verse 14 of chapter 24. The gospel had been preached to the whole world. The entire planet heard it, including these unwise virgins. But they chose not to believe it. So they had no oil, no readiness, because they'd refused the offer of this kingdom gospel. And so Jesus concludes in verse 13, in a similar way, he concluded this last parable we saw, where he says, be on the alert. Be on the alert. Now, why would he say, be on the alert? Alert for what? Alert for his second coming. Alert for the Jewish Messiah to come forth from the sky as prophesied in both the Old Testament and through the very words of Jesus Christ himself there. And so he tells them, once again, to keep watch, to be on the alert, to be ready. And why would he tell them that? Here's a simple reason. Because Jesus Christ loves the Jewish people. It's his people. It's the people that God established a covenant relationship with, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, or really beginning verse 1, where God came to Abraham and made a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham passed that covenant, became ratified through him, went down Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob was essentially the father of the Jewish people in the name form, at least. And so God has a covenant with the people of Israel. It's a covenant, parts of those covenants that are unconditional, unchanging, and that are eternal. In other words, the Mosaic law was a covenant, but it's passed away. But the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the land covenant, and the new covenant are all eternal. And we're going to be enjoying that throughout all of history in the millennial kingdom and in the new heavens and in the new earth. So Jesus loves the Jewish people. And by the way, just as a side note, you and I should love the Jewish people as well. That verse, Genesis 12:3, says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And we should be blessing the Jewish people tangibly in ways that show kindness and love, but also spiritually as well, doing our best to help reach the Jewish people for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so we should be about that. So as we close out this parable here, how can we apply this to our own lives? Well, we don't need to be prepared for the second coming. You know why? Because we'll already be in heaven, already prepared. We'll have our wedding garments on. We'll be mounting white horses, ready to come back with Jesus, according to Revelation 19:14, with him at the second coming. So we'll be ready for that. It's the rapture of the church that we have to get ourselves ready for. And so we get ourselves ready by putting on our wedding garments. We're not the 10 virgins here. We're not the 5 wives, the 5 foolish attendants. We are the bride itself in the rapture scenario. And as we prepare our hearts to meet our coming King, then we too will be excited when he returns. We have 2 appearances of Christ, the rapture and the second coming. We have 2 groups, the church and Israel, but we have 1 reason. Jesus is coming back again. Count on it. We'll see you next time. My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
We've been studying Uncovering the Mysteries of God here at The King is Coming, and I've written a book by the same title. I'd love for you to have a copy. Just go to thekingiscoming.com and order your copy today.
For any gift of $20 or more, order your copy of Uncovering the Mysteries of God today. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.
We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now at this time more than ever before. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration.
Have you ever wondered, what is Bible prophecy? How do I even begin to understand it? Is it relevant for today? Bible prophecy isn't just about the future. It's a roadmap from God, revealing his divine plan and providing the trustworthiness of Scripture. But how do we interpret it? And how can prophecy be used as a powerful apologetic to defend our faith? In the groundbreaking Secrets of Bible Prophecy, best-selling author and prophecy expert Jeff Kinley takes you on an unforgettable journey through the mysteries of God's Word, unveiling truth, dispelling confusion, and equipping you to understand prophecy like never before. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $45 or more. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com to get your copy today.